clothesline is revolutionizing how we do laundry. Coming up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
With Navy Federal, you could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed-rate home equity loan with zero closing costs. Or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. All right, we're talking with Marine veteran Daniel Feliciano, CEO of Clothesline. Daniel, great to have a fellow Marine Corps pilot on the show. Don't get that very often. Before we get to talk about business and your entrepreneurial story and Clothesline, all the great things you guys are doing, take us back and tell us what you did in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, thanks. So yeah, Dan Feliciano, I was a 53 Echo pilot out of San Diego. So I joined the Marine Corps like you, officer candidate school. Came in, went through all the normal stuff, flight school, and then out to San Diego where I flew 53s with 462, the heavy haulers, and the screw crew, as they call us. Did three combat tours. I was on the 13th MEU right when September 11th happened. And so we were scheduled to go out January. We ended up leaving in December. We went and floated around, got into some trouble in Somalia. Then we were over in Afghanistan for the big kerfuffle that happened in the Tora Bora region. I was up there for that. And then came back a few months later, went to Iraq. We were there, first helicopters in for the invasion of Iraq. Was there for about 11 months. Came back a few months later, back to Afghanistan for a second tour. And then I finished out my time as a flight school instructor in Pensacola, fixed wing, which was kind of fun to go helicopters and then come back and finish up my time as a fixed wing instructor. All that time I was, you know, same thing as most Marine Corps pilots. I spent about a year or two in maintenance as an airframes officer and then a year or two as an ops guy. And then when I was in the training wing, I was ops guy there. So it was kind of fun.
Awesome. Were you on one of the MEUs that was the two MEUs that came together, formed the MEB or whatever, and one of the first ones invaded Afghanistan?
Yeah, so we actually had, we absorbed a bunch of guys from another shitter squadron, another 53 squadron. They came over, so we ended up reducing the number of 46s in the squadron. We had twice as many 53s, twice as many Cobras and attack helicopters, so that when we went over there, we had heavier lift, we could operate at higher altitudes. And so, yeah, I think we had 8 53s and can't remember how many Cobras we had, but it was twice as many as what you would normally have on a MEU.
Yeah, usually there was either 4 or 6. It kind of went back and forth. So,
yeah, so we actually had helicopters on everywhere, right? So we're all on the main ship, but then we were like on the support ships. We had all the 46s everywhere. The guys were sleeping all over the place. It was kind of fun.
Crammed in. Yeah. Fun. That's a good word. So yeah. So you had an action packed, high operational tempo time there in the Marine Corps. What was your transition when you got out of the Marine Corps? Like, were you planning ahead of time, or I guess you were in flight school at that point and left from flight school. So were you prepared to transition, and tell us about that?
Yeah, I really wasn't. So I was at flight school. I didn't think I was going to stay in for 20 years. I was like, you know, I'll tell you later, as an entrepreneur, you know, there's lots of great opportunities to learn to be a better entrepreneur in the Marine Corps, but it's also one of those things that, like, if you have an entrepreneur mindset, it's not always the greatest environment. And so I'd been promoted to major. I was pretty sure I was going to be a terminal major. And so at 10 years, I knew I needed to kind of transition out. I didn't know what I was going to do. And an opportunity at a major corporation opened up for aviation logistics guy. And so I applied kind of out of the blue. I ended up getting the job. So I ended up transitioning out of the Marine Corps straight into a corporate job at Royal Dutch Shell, where I ended up being the head of aviation logistics for continental United States. And then I went to Europe for a few years and I worked with a bunch of different countries over there. And then I finished my time out in Malaysia. And so, like, that ability to move and be kind of transient that you learn in the Marine Corps translated really well to my time in the corporate world, because every 3 or 4 years I was asking Shell, where's my next place that I can go, you know, be successful.
Yeah. Wow. So when did that come to an end? Where, you know, you got this entrepreneurship thing, you had the paper out as a young boy, entrepreneurship's always been in your blood. You've always had that desire. When did you got a really good job with a major corporation. Things are great. What's happening then?
Yeah. So the way it works when you're working at a big corporation, you become an expat, is once you leave the United States, it's really hard to come back. You know, Shell's not going to hold your spot open. And so somebody fills it, and then spots don't open up a lot. And so once you kind of transition to becoming an expat, the whole rest of your life is spent being an expat. You just kind of bounce around from one country to another, hoping that a role will open up back in the United States. But it's really unusual. It's similar like the Marine Corps, right? So things start getting much smaller as you get higher up in rank. And so like the number of jobs are a lot smaller. And so, you know, a lot of times you have to transition to do something different if you want to continue to move up the ranks. And so I found myself in that situation. I was out in Malaysia. I didn't know where I was going to have to go after that Malaysia job was finished. My wife was kind of getting sick of being on the road for the last 8 years, 7.5 years. So we wanted to come back to the United States. She wanted to come back to the United States. At the time, my daughter also needed some special attention. So my wife moved back here to get my daughter attention. I'm working over in Malaysia, and it's not like, you know, being a Geo Bachelor in the Marine Corps where it's God and country and you're like, okay, I can do this because I'm serving a higher purpose. Like, I was working for an oil company. I was separated from my wife by, you know, a 24-hour journey. And so I ended up just saying, you know, I got to go. I got to leave this amazing life that I had. And believe me, Shell is the most amazing company. I would work for them in a second if they would have me back. But it was time to go at that point. So we left. And now I was back here in the United States. I had really no job. And it was time to figure things out. And, you know, like as you had said, I'd been working since I was 12. I was a paper boy and did that every day, 364 days a year, except for Christmas, from when I was 12 until when I was 18. And then I joined the Marine Corps. And so like, I'm a hustler, right? I work hard and I figure things out. And so I kind of got into the entrepreneur world just because, you know, this is where I was kind of headed my whole entire life, is figuring out problems and then building solutions to solve those problems.
Becoming a member of Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed-rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval. All right, we're back talking with Marine veteran Daniel Feliciano, CEO of Clothesline. So, Dan, you had the big corporate job with Shell. You're overseas, can't get back to the U.S. You had to walk away from the job, get back to the U.S. And that's when you started coming up with the idea of playing around with entrepreneurship. So walk us through some of the things you did.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we first moved back, you know, my initial part into entrepreneurship was really real estate. I came back, I bought, you know, I had some money saved up from working at the oil company. I bought a bunch of multifamily houses in the area where I live. And so then that introduced me to entrepreneurship, because you have to figure out like, how are you going to manage these things and how are you going to grow this? And what do the numbers look like? And then as part of that, I had hired a painter to come do some work at one of my houses. And I was like, hey, how much is this going to cost? And he didn't really know. And I was like, hey, I bet you I could figure out the painting industry too. So I put together a business plan and I hired this guy, and we formed a company. And then I started this little painting company, which I grew to like $1 million a year business. And so in the process of building that painting company, which ended up not being the greatest business, even though I grew it, it takes a lot of time to run a painting company. It's a lot like having just a bunch of Lance Corporals and zero corporals in your life. So I had this kid working for me who ended up being my co-founder, Camden. He was a college kid at the time. And one day I was complaining to him about how my whole entire life on the weekends is just eaten up with laundry. And Cam was like, yeah, I never do my laundry. The girls up at my university do my laundry for me for like $5. And so we started talking about, well, I wonder if there's a business there. And we did a bunch of research because that's the kind of guy I am. And we looked into the numbers and could we build something that connected people with laundry doers in the community? Kind of, you can think of it like a care.com type of thing. And so we built this marketplace where we let customers who have laundry demands in a local area connect with gig workers, if you will, usually moms, stay-at-home dads who live in that community, have some extra time, want to monetize their laundry machine. And on our platform, we put those people together. And we started that about 2 years ago. And now we're in 8 states across the country, from Alaska to Massachusetts. We got about 1,500 customers and 500 people doing laundry. So it's been pretty fun.
No kidding. It's laundry, man. It's not so much the doing the laundry, it's the folding of the laundry that's the time consumer, man. Like, you remember Iraq, Afghanistan? We had really good laundry. We had the best contract laundry. Like, you just turn your bag in and get it back the next day, exquisitely folded, washed, dried, cleaned. I mean, laundry in Iraq and Afghanistan was awesome. It's like you're getting shot at and rocketed and everything else. But man, the laundry was great. And it was free for us, of course.
Yeah. And that's exactly the same model that we have. I often think back to like putting my mesh bag out on the boat. I was on the Bonhomme Richard. Like, you put your mesh bag out on the boat and like the Navy takes it, and a day later it comes back soaking wet. But it's
washed. Navy laundry, so on the boat is a totally different experience.
It's the worst.
It's like worst. You hand them the mesh bag and they hand you a mesh bag full of it went through the washer and dryer and never came out of the mesh bag. I don't know if it ever went through the dryer.
I just think it goes through the washer.
Yeah, that's a totally different story. But I remember at the basic school, when we'd get libo for the weekend, there were guys that were like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to stay here and do laundry. Like, all weekend? Yeah. Really? I'm going to D.C. or Woodbridge or Georgetown, or I'm going up there Friday afternoon, not coming home till Sunday, man.
Yeah.
What about your laundry?
Yeah.
I turn it in at the back gate at the Asian gals that own this laundry place. They do all your laundry for you, and it's great. And it's like, you know, it costs like a little bit of money. I mean, it was an expense, of course, but it freed you up for the whole weekend, you know? And you'd hand them nasty clothes being out in the field and sweat and everything, and come back everything exquisitely folded and dried, and all you had to do is put it back in the drawer. It was great. And then my wife and I had 4 teenagers at one point. We discovered every one of them was using a different towel every time they got out of the shower.
Yeah.
Like, there was like one weekend, my wife did like 16 loads of laundry. And it's just, and my wife does really good laundry. She's very good at it. But 16 loads in a weekend, and then here we are again. She's like, I can't do anything all weekend. I got to do all this laundry. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. All right, let's load it up in trash bags. There's a laundromat down the road. We're going to take it down. It was like $120, but it was like 5 big trash bags full of laundry. And we dropped it off and picked it up like the next day, all done, all folded. It was like the best money I ever spent. It totally like gave my wife her weekend back, you know?
Yeah.
So you're kind of talking about something similar to that.
That's exactly what we're talking about. It's all about getting people's time back, right? Yeah. So, I mean, laundry is one of those pain points that every single person in the world has. And if you've ever had the opportunity like we have to outsource it to somebody, if you can do that at a price that's reasonable for most people, which our main priority is providing this service at a price that's reasonable, then you've really eliminated a pain point that almost every single person has. And it's such a time suck for your weekend, for your family. And like you said, it may not be that you don't mind putting it in the washer and the dryer. Maybe it's like the folding. I hear all the time people are like, oh, I hate putting it away. The thing about it is once you have somebody else do it for you, all those other pain points, they go away, right? So like yeah. we have somebody do our laundry because we own the company, but when it comes back, we don't have any problem putting it away. Whereas before when we had to do it, it would just sit there folded until I wore it, right? It never got back into the drawer. And so now it gets back into the drawer because that's the only part of the laundry that we have to do. And so, yeah, and like that whole concept of bringing it to the laundromat, we've eliminated that by having the clotheslineers, the people who do the laundry, pick it up at your house. You would have just left those bags on your front porch and somebody would have come and picked them up. And a day later, there would have been new, brand new bags on your front porch with clean clothes. And you wouldn't have had to Wow. make that extra trip to the laundromat.
Okay, so you came up with the idea because one of your kids, a college kid who was painting for you, said something about, I have girls at the college do my laundry. So what were they doing? Like, you just making a deal with other people in the dorm, or was it?
Yeah. So he was in a fraternity, right? Yeah. So like he had sorority sisters that were like teamed up with fraternities. I don't know. I didn't go to a school that had fraternities, but the way he tells the story is you have like sister fraternities and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, they would have a working relationship about how the laundry was going to get done. And it was that concept of people monetizing their time and the assets that they already had available to them that really intrigued me the most. And as we built this company, it was crazy how many people we spoke to that said that they made their way through college by doing people's laundry. Really? That's how they made extra money during school. And so when you talk to people about laundry, almost every single person has a story about laundry.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's this natural thing to build and to kind of expand on. And then, you know, really what we're also doing is offering this opportunity to people to make a little bit of extra money. And generally, 80% of our clotheslineers are women. And up to this point, they really didn't have an access point into like the gig economy that other people that men generally have, because they don't want to be Uber drivers. It's like a safety issue there, and they don't want to be out doing other people's grocery shopping. And so now they have this opportunity to make a little bit of extra money at home, kind of monetizing their free time, and they're providing a service for other people in their community. And so it really kind of resonates with me as a former Marine officer, where we have this amazing community and like the esprit de corps. And we're trying to build that same kind of community aspect here around laundry and helping other people out.
Yeah, it's like one of the everybody wins kind of things.
Yeah.
So how does it work? Like what go through from if somebody wants to get on board to do people's laundry and if somebody wants to get on board having somebody get you know, do their laundry for them?
Yeah, so it's all app-based, right? So if you are going to be a customer, you would download our app. We have an app on both Android and iOS. We also have a web access portal if you don't have a phone. And you would just go on there. You create an account. You tell us how many bags of laundry. We do bags and not pounds. So if you took a 13-gallon garbage bag that everybody has in their kitchen, you know, a tall garbage bag, fill it up with as much laundry as you possibly could. That's $20 for it to be picked up at your house, washed and folded and returned within 2 days. And if you want it in 1 day, it's $25. And so generally that comes out to a little less than $1 a pound if you jam it full, which is like 30% less than what a laundromat would charge you if you actually had to go there and drop it off yourself. So from the customer side, it's super simple. It's about 5 steps. Download the app, create your account. 5 steps later, you put your laundry on your front porch. And it's done. From the clothesliner side, it's also app-based. Download the app. We have a full training program embedded in the app. We have some training. And then our clotheslineners do a test run. We walk them through setting up an account. And also, one of the things that's different from us than other people is other gig economies is we give our people an opportunity to build a little book of business. And so instead of it being like an Uber model, it's more like I said, a care.com model. So you have this person, let's call her Jennifer. She can have her own space on our app. And so if you want to outsource your laundry to Jennifer, you choose Jennifer. And then every single time you and Jennifer now have like a little business going back and forth between each other. And so we help them build that. We show them how to be successful, how to load their profile on there, how to write a compelling story about themselves, and then how to manage that business on there. And then that's it. They just wait. You come on, you place an order, you choose Jennifer, Jennifer accepts it. And then Jennifer comes and picks up the laundry and does it and returns it. So as simple as we could possibly make it. Like nobody wants complicated laundry.
Yeah, that's very seamless and painless as much as possible. So
yeah,
one bag of laundry is essentially one load, other than the fact that you might have to separate the colors from the whites.
Yeah, so that's about what it is. And if you want to separate, so generally a bag of laundry goes in together. If you want it separated, it's like $1 more or something to separate it, just because you have to have some extra laundry detergent or so on. But you can ultimately personalize it on our app as well. And that's one of the reasons that like having gig workers do this is that you can really do anything you want. So if you want it separated, or you want it hung dry, or you want one thing folded a certain way or whatever, you can do all of that. Because you're working with another human being, and you can just talk to Jennifer and be like, hey, Jen, I need this and this done. You know, it might cost you an extra couple of dollars. But then Jennifer, who's like a real person, not a business, she's like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can figure all that stuff out. And then you just talk with her and you kind of work out this situation. And then as Jennifer does more and more loads, she gets to know you and your family better. And now like she separates your clothes from your wife's clothes. So it come back in different bags. It makes putting everything away easier. The point of creating the relationship is that things should become better and better as you move along.
Wow. And is it available anywhere in the country at the moment, or are you limited in certain towns and cities?
Yeah, so we're mostly in the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. We are in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. We're in Reno and Las Vegas and Nevada, and we're in Anchorage, Alaska. And a lot of the, it sounds a little random, but it's all because we were building out the model, testing it against different kind of demographics and different kinds of cities.
Like what kind of things do you have to have in place in order to open up a town or city? Like, is there any regulatory items, or is it just a matter of, do we have enough people there?
Yeah, there are some regulatory stuff. We tried to minimize the regulatory stuff that is required by, you know, for example, we don't do things by the pound, because if you charge by the pound, you have to have a certified scale, and the chance of you getting a certified scale, you know, by some random person, she's like, one of our clotheslineers isn't going to take their bathroom scale to the New York State certification weigh station and get it certified, right? So like all those little things that might be regulatory, we tried to eliminate the need for any of that. And so we built this program so that it was scalable across the country without having to worry too much about some of the regulatory issues. And so generally when we open up a new market, it's just, hey, we're going to open up this market. We have to find clotheliners first, the people who are going to do the laundry. And once we get them on board, then we just start marketing word of mouth. Moms groups are really great for us.
Yeah.
The Facebook moms groups.
So do you have any like case studies, like your number one laundry doer, and like how many loads of laundry are they doing? And like, I don't know what kind of numbers you're willing to share, but like, Uber is like, doesn't like with Uber, like doesn't the driver get like 80% and the company gets 20, or they vary off of that or something like that?
Yeah, I think Uber drivers wish it was like that. But yeah, no, generally our clotheliners will do between 3 and 4 customers a week is the sweet spot for them. That's where they have like the most opportunity to make some money, but also for this not to be a full-time job, because it's not for anybody, right? Everybody on our platform is just looking to make some extra money. And so 3 or 4 customers per clothesliner is what you're generally looking at. And that's usually like a general order is 2 bags. So we're talking about 8 bags of laundry is what our clotheslineners are generally doing per week. We have some that are super clotheslineers where they might have like a business account where they've created a relationship with a small business in their local area and they'll do more. But it really is up to them to decide how much they want or don't want within the marketplace. Customers generally order 2 to 3 times a month, which is pretty fun. You know, so we have a subscription base, which is, you know, every week, but we also have some customers that just kind of order 1 or 2 or 3 times a month. You know, it's just something to help them save some time as they move forward.
Yeah. And is it usually the person that's doing the laundry? They're the ones that drive to the customer's house and picks it up and drops it off?
Yeah. So the clothesliner is responsible for the entire life cycle of the order. So once the order comes in and the clothesliner accepts to do it, then they're responsible for the entire life cycle. We provide overhead support. So we do customer service, we do payment, you know, processing, we do payout to the clothesliner processing on their behalf. And then also if there's a discrepancy, so instead of a 13 gallon bag, you take one of those giant black garbage bags and you fill it up with laundry and you say it's only one bag, then it's our responsibility to help out the clotheslineners and make sure that they're getting compensated properly. And so we really are here to support the clotheslineners. You know, you can think of it just like we were as pilots, right? Everything that the Marine Corps does is to support, you know, the guy on the ground. And that's kind of how we look at clothesline. Everything that we do supports the clotheslineners and how they're making money.
Are you, what level of detail you went, the thing I'm really curious about is like, how much can a clothesliner typically expect to make from a load of laundry?
Yeah, so they make 75% of the total order. So whatever the order is, they make 75% of that. Plus they make 100% of the tips. And then they make 75% of any add-on money that comes through on that.
Okay, cool. Now, how many are you willing to share? Like how many customers and clotheslineners you have on board at this point?
Yeah. So we have 500 active clotheslineners on board right now. Awesome. We have 4,000 customers on our platform.
Wow. That's so awesome. And when, yeah, did, when did you guys actually, I know you had to build the app and build it all up, but like, when did you guys actually start? Like if you have an official start date.
Yeah, so we had an MVP out in 2021, which is, you know, it was not nice, but it was just to start, right? It was in our local area. Will this thing work? I think our official, like, real launch date was January 2022. So we've been in business for 2 years and a few months now.
Yeah, that's a big, have you hit that hockey stick expansion point, or is it pretty much linear so far?
It's pretty linear. It's a scale game. So once we get to a certain scale, then we'll be able to kind of move forward. And we have a really high retention rate, both on our clotheslineer side and our customer side.
That's cool.
And so the hockey stick will be once we get to a specific point in our scale.
And how did you, like initially, how did you get it going? Like how do you socialize the idea? Did you just capitalize on the college relationship that already existed possibly? Or I'm curious, like how, or since then, what's been the way you typically bring on clotheslineners and customers?
Yeah, no, our real kind of aha moment was when we figured out that the real customers were women who were responsible for other people's laundry, whether they had a laundry machine or not. So think about your wife and all of those, all that, you know, those towels. College kids are not good customers yet. So they think in like beer math, right? And so you're like, okay, this load of laundry is $20 and that'll be like clean clothes for a month. But they're like, but that $20 is also 5 beers. And so do I want the 5 beers or do I want the clean clothes? But women or men who are responsible for laundry for other people, they think about life and time and how much time they're going to be able to save. And so once we figured that out, then we just needed to put ourselves in the places where those people are. And so what we started to do was, you know, really be able to focus where we spent our time marketing and where we spent our time promoting our company. And we found out, you know, like we need to be in these areas because this is where our customers are spending their time. And then one of the things that's very interesting, you kind of touched on it already, is is that this laundry concept has been ingrained in like the women's thought process. Like we, like so many times we hear, oh, my wife did this or my wife does the laundry. And so like, and women, when we talk to them, a lot of times they feel almost like this belief that is their responsibility to do the laundry. And so trying to crack that belief, trying to convince them that like their husband stopped mowing the lawn like 20 years ago, and even though they have a lawnmower in their garage, doesn't mean that they're going to mow the lawn. Like that's the same way they need to look at the washing machine. Like just because you have a washing machine in the house doesn't mean you have to spend your weekend doing laundry, right? Your husband's out playing golf. You should be out doing whatever you want to do on the weekends. It's a tough nut to crack though.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Dan, we're getting close to the end of our time. So first of all, how do we, if we're interested in learning more about Clothesline, how do we find out about it?
Yeah, so you can go to clothesline.com. It's spelled with an L-Y-N instead of an L-I-N-E. So it's C-L-O-T-H-E-S-L-Y-N-E. And you can look at our blogs. You can kind of see how we do things, see if we're in your area. If we're not in your area, send us an email. Like I said, it doesn't take us a whole lot for us to open up a new area, and we're in expansion mode anyways. So I'm happy to come out and help anybody in any space where they're at, and also just talk laundry.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Daniel, thanks for sharing your entrepreneurial success story. I'll give you the last word. Usually I like to say that now that you had a great career in the Marine Corps and the corporate world, you're full-blown entrepreneur now. If you're talking to somebody that's getting out of the military soon or just recently got out in the transition, what kind of advice comes to mind when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people coming out of the military need to know is that you're coming out of an environment where everybody that you work with is really good at what they do, and they're highly skilled and they've been highly trained. And if you go into the corporate world or you go in, out into the regular world, most people you run into are not going to be like that. And so my one piece of advice is don't become average just because everybody else outside of the military is average. If you stay sharp and fierce, then you can be super successful outside of the military. But if you come out and you're sharp and you let yourself become dull because the rest of the people that you're dealing with are dull, it's going to be a very frustrating time. So just stay sharp, stay fierce, stay focused, and you can really, really win outside of the military.
Awesome. That's sage advice there, man. That's great. Never heard anybody say it that way. Appreciate that. All right, Daniel. Well, thanks for sharing your entrepreneurial success story. Look forward to seeing the future success of Clothesline, and you know, maybe a year or so when you guys are blowing it up and hit that hockey stick scale milestone, we'll get you back on the show.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'll come on anytime.
All right. These two Marines are Oscar Mike.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review in iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.